-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
John, who gets kicked out of a fantasy football league?
Well, the way it used to run, it's Jimmy Kimmel's league, and we decided at a certain point, Bill Simmons is in it, Cousin Sal, we got a bunch of guys in it, and that the winner of the league would get to kick out one person at the very beginning, but you could not say who it was going to be until the day of the draft. So you had to bring all your stuff and get your laptop out and get ready to go, and then
charge time out.
You found out if you were in or not. And for me, I remember I was coming home from Mad Men shooting, and I'm rushing to get there. I'm driving through LA traffic. I'm trying to get to whatever restaurant bar we had the draft in, and I get there and I unload my backpack and I open up my laptop and I get all my papers all settled and ready to go. And I get the Wi-Fi password and every other thing. And then the guy who had won the league the last year goes, "Ham, you're out." And so I wrap up all my stuff and I put it all back in my backpack. And I think, all right, bye guys, I'll see you next year.
I like that rule.
And you won it this year.
And then we won it this year. So we were able to, and not without the significant help from number 10 there, Cooper Kupp, last year, who had a hell of a year. But yeah, we got to kick out a guy who got a little salty when we did. It was an unexpected loss for our friend Dave Damashek, who got bounced.
-3 with Dave Damashek.
Ooh, we got a good one coming at you today. Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of -3, presented as ever by Omaha. Thanks, first and foremost, for watching the 15-minute pregame show that we posted on Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. It's doing very nicely. Thanks to you, like I say, much appreciated. You can also watch it on YouTube if you want. And I appreciate you sitting through it despite what have proven to be some lousy picks. No jive, Damashek on a heater going into NFL Week 9, coming out of it a little bit limpy, but midpoint in the season. Consider me the San Francisco 49ers. As a matter of fact, speaking of which, we're going to talk with one of their great fans, our pal, the Dutch Mook, Paul Kohorst, who you've heard here on the Extra Points Network previously. He and I are in a fantasy league. We've talked about it before. And he and I made a trade right before Week 9, and it was received very poorly by the other owners in the league. We're going to get into that and see if we can settle that hash in just a little bit here. In real football terms, Eddie Spaghetti did not like the way his Notre Dame Fighting Irish went down to Clemson and performed. I told you, and so did Greg McElroy, I just had a sense that the team was going to rally around him. He is the figurehead. These 19-year-olds revere him. They're the reason that he's the reason they're there. And so I had that was where I was leaning and I was proven correct. I'm sorry for your team there, Eddie Spaghetti.
Well, I mean, if Sam Harbin played average, Notre Dame wins that game. Plus the Chris Tyree fumble off the face mask didn't really help matters. I was not impressed by Clemson. It was just an extremely sloppy game. Don't understand why this Notre Dame offense outside of South Bend is terrible. It's like Sam Harbin becomes like he doesn't know which hand to throw with when he plays outside of Indiana there. So he's cursed against Clemson. It stinks that Notre Dame streaks, versus the ACC. Has been really, crapped on this year, losing to Clemson, losing to Louisville, struggling versus Duke, which is something they've been pretty successful with in the past. So terrible Saturday, terrible Sunday in terms of the result.
Yeah,
of the game,
I know. I hear you. Yeah, it really was a rough weekend for you because your favorite defenseman on your hockey team, the Rags, Adam Fox, although that ends up being good news because in the moment you texted me and Hench that you assumed it was a season ender. So at least It wasn't. But then the guy in red, white and blue in football that you root for, he did. And I don't know that we see him wearing a Giants uniform ever again. I will say the winners of Week 9 in terms of not just in the win loss column, but wins that kind of transcend the mere standings and ones that are important come January. I think the Ravens, I thought they were going to cover against the Seahawks, but they announced themselves, at least to me, to be on a different level. We'll see how that goes as they catch the Browns this coming weekend, because that's the cannibalism that's going to happen in the mighty AFC North that's still to come. Someone's going to lose those games. Can't wait to see if Hench's prediction comes true that all four make the playoffs. He also told you that the Buffalo Bills are going to miss the playoffs and go under 10.5. he's tracking right in that direction as far as I'm concerned, or at least it's going to come down to being real close there. The Bengals housed them once again. I know the scoreboard didn't indicate as much, but I felt like Cincy appeared to be the much better team. And given where they started out, I think that they're maybe the best team in the AFC, aka the best conference in the NFL in the 58 years of the Super Bowl era. The Chiefs also an ongoing factor in the AFC. That was a big win for them over the Dolphins. I don't know that it says that much about Miami, though. I know people are poking holes in them after another loss against a good team. I think it's a little weird when you go over to Germany and the sleep deprivation and whatever else. I think you can kind of carve that one out and reject it. Let's see where the Dolphins are in 2 to 4 weeks from now. Obviously, big win for the Eagles. And for the Texans, I think on individual levels, Josh Dobbs is your big winner. What a great story that is. CJ Stroud and Texans fans have to be feeling like, boy, oh boy, we got the guy, and Carolina has another guy. And then Tom Brady, because amidst this mighty all-time great AFC, Bill Belichick's team is in the basement. I think that makes Tom Brady look even better 3 years removed from his last snap up in Foxborough. All right. All that, though, takes a back seat right now. I'm thinking globally, I'm acting locally, making trades in my fantasy league. And like I say, a trade that did not go over with the other owners. Let's get the Dutch Mook in here. We may be joined. Be on the lookout, Eddie Spaghetti. There may be another guest, another owner who joins during the conversation. I just sent him the link. We'll see if he picks up. Either way, let's get to the Dutch Mook. Let me squeeze in a quick break here.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager. Returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, I want to get in on this fantasy football, the latest melodrama that we've had. We've had many of them, and a guy right in the eye of the storm this time around is joining us right now. You've heard him on the Extra Points Network previously talking about golf, good bets to make within golf. And he also, if you're happy and lucky enough to be looking at him right now, he's wearing an Oregon Ducks hat. He is a San Francisco 49ers guy. And he's our pal. It's the Dutch Mook himself, Paul Kohorst. By the way, author also of Club Guy's other black book. How are you, the Mook?
I'm great, man. It's great. You know, anytime you can talk about your fantasy football league and someone actually listens, I mean, that's anything a guy could wish for. I mean, I'm thrilled.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, that's one of those things that is a cliche that is absolutely true. Everyone loves to hear about your football, your fantasy football team and your fantasy football league and the other lunatics in it. Before we get to that, I don't know. I want to dig in on that, but let's take advantage of your sports knowledge, your sports fandom. And let's start with, I mean, really, these are good times for you. Up there in those islands off of the Seattle coast. Is that an
yes,
accurate
yeah.
description?
The San Juan Islands, about an hour and a half north of Seattle, and then an hour and 15 minutes by ferry.
And you
it's
have
a beautiful place.
And luckily, they do have satellite service up there, so you get to watch your Niners and your Ducks. Where are you right now? The Pac-12, the greatest year, ironically or otherwise, in Pac-12 history. Is its last, but are you feeling good about where the Ducks are and where they might wind up?
Absolutely. But I'm at my absolute grumpiest. Like, I hate change when it comes to talking about this Pac-12 breakup, because one of the highlights of being like a Pac-12 fan is every few years I'd go to a Stanford game. I'd go to Cal game. I'd go to a UCLA game, and you could meet all your old friends, you know, who've all went from college during these things. So now I got to go to Rutgers, you know, or I don't even know the teams, you know, I don't even know these places.
Wait a minute. You and me, I hadn't thought about this. You and me get to go to Bloomington, Indiana. Oh, what a good time we're going to have. I don't know when that game's scheduled for, but now all of a sudden I'm enthused.
Look, I have no space for seeing the bright side of things when it comes to this. I'm cranky about it. Mm-hmm. I don't like this change. That said, I'm thrilled about where the Ducks are this year. I'm thrilled about Heisman favorite, maybe Bo Nix right now. It's been a fantastic season. I feel really hopeful we get to play Washington one more time in this Pac-12 final in Vegas. I know both went out, and that'll happen. So
that's your prediction. Yes. That's your formal prediction right now.
Well, all I can know this much about Oregon and what I've seen in this Oregon team that I haven't seen since the Chip Kelly years is this coach has this team ready every single week. Oregon's won a ton of big games over the last decade, but they would win a big game. They'd beat a USC. They would beat a Washington. They would beat a Utah. And then the following week, they would lose to Stanford and basically get knocked out of a playoff, get knocked out of a bigger bowl game. And this team does not take weeks off. I mean, they smoked Cal this week. They have just repeatedly showed up. So I do think this team gets it done and makes it all the way to Vegas. And I think that they will win.
Okay. So, but let's go back to the Heisman talk, because this weekend, another chapter of information to absorb. I feel like Marv Harrison kind of sort of deserves it based on this. And this has, you know, there's no statistics to support any of this. Just a vibe I'm getting. I think the voters want to not give it to a quarterback. I think they want to say that this is not an MVP. This is not a QB only award. And this is a great opportunity to do that. Right.
That makes absolute sense. And what, four catches for 30 yards? I mean, you can't. Wasn't that what he had this weekend, Mace? I mean, impressive stuff. I know, two touchdowns. these narratives are always the problem, you know, and I get it. Then it's a narrative award, and that is a big narrative. And I don't know if there'll be a problem with this Pac-12 realignment thing, if that'll somehow play into it. It could play into it in a positive way, being like, oh, hey, let's give this big, you know, this could be a farewell to a conference that has had so many great quarterbacks, and, you know, Knicks or Penix could, you know, get to be the final Heisman Trophy winner for the Pac-12.
Hey, Eddie Spaghetti, what are the, I didn't check them post Saturday's games. I didn't see where they were on Sunday or here on Monday, where the Heisman odds landed after all that. I assume Penix actually pulled away a little bit would be my assumption there. Is there any path? Am I missing anything that you need Washington to win out for a quality win in the Pac-12 title game to definitely lock yourselves into the Final Four? Or if the Ducks win out, they're in. There can't be an argument, right? I mean, there wouldn't be. Talk about the narratives and everything, right?
I think if the Ducks win out, they're in. I mean, the only way it would get a little bit muddy is if Washington lost another game. Washington
That's
lost
what I'm
a
saying,
game.
Right. Yeah, if Washington they lose lost a game before a game. You catch them again, right.
And then we have to have the conversation, a one-loss Ohio State or Michigan versus a one-loss Oregon. And then
that's what I'm saying, and that's what I'm concerned about happening too. Right. And also, let's say if Georgia catches Bama and Bama beats them, then you know that's two slots right there. There's no way, you know, the way this committee works, that they're not going to show grace to the Pac-12 over the SEC. You know, they'll be like, well, hey, Bama, best conference, what are we going to do? And same kind of vibe works with Ohio State and Michigan. I think the best thing that Ducks fans and people who feel like they're right on the cusp, you want Jim Harbaugh to get shut down. I know that's cruel, but for the players, but that's kind of what you should be rooting for, right?
I think when we're talking about a narrative, again, we're talking about narratives here and why people vote the way they vote. And I do think that the Pac-12, the final year of a conference of champions. Oh, can you imagine what Bill Walton's going to be like watching these basketball games this year? I mean, he is going to be, I don't know if I can do it. It's just going to be so heartbreaking.
Sad stoner. No one wants that.
So I do think that in a year where the conference is dissolving, I think it would be harder if, for example, Washington does lose one and we barely, you know, and then we have a one loss team and have to go past either Alabama, Michigan, or Ohio State. It's trickier. I do think the last year of the pack 12 gives us a little bit more leeway.
The final slap in the face on the Pac-12's way out the door from college football for all of time. All right, maybe we'll have time for pro football talk in a little bit. We have some tangential pro football talk right now with another owner from the aforementioned fantasy league. And I don't know. I don't want to make decisions. I don't want to speak for the other side of things. Before we introduce him, let me just say, Dutch Mook, what trade did you send to me at the end of last week that I accepted? You and I had zero conversations, right? I just want to lay it all
out.
We
had zero conversations.
I received a text message from the Dutch Mook that said, just sent you a trade offer. Let me know what you think. I opened it. What was that trade offer?
The trade offer was I was going to give you Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, and Brandon Ayuk,
for Rashad,
Rashad White, Brian Robinson Jr., and Michael Pittman.
Okay, that was the trade offer. I liked it from my side, so I hit accept, and then that was that. I went about my day until just some vitriolic, just a chain of them from all the other owners. How dare you make a trade to Dutch Mook? One of those people is now joining the conversation. His name is John Hamm. The man most famous
John,
kicking poor Dave Damashek out of the fantasy football league a year and a half ago. I mean, I don't want to live life in the rearview mirror. That's neither here nor there.
I don't think you should. I'm good, thank you. And I have a couple things to say about this.
Okay.
About that. I don't think it was a cavalcade of other, and I'm not sure if we're allowed to say owners at this point either. members of the overseers, probably worse. Members of the fantasy league, executives, I guess maybe is the better choice. I found it fascinating. I think the prime mover in this egregious hurt, this mystifying outsized outrage, was our dear friend Mr. Simmons, who has the natural ability, like all people from Boston, to think the world is somehow aligned against them. When, if I may quote the thing I am actually most famous for, Mr. Draper, the universe is indifferent. Look, my take on all of this, again, we're talking about Mr. Mook here, who is very good fantasy football talent. The proof is in the pudding.
Okay.
He found himself, through no fault of his own, as we know there is an element of random number generation in fantasy football. Sometimes you come up against a steamroller and you could have the most points in the league and be, you know, have a record well under 500. I think this is the situation we find ourselves in. So you have to win now. I'm in another league where I'm 2-6 as well. And going 2-7 is a much tougher hill to climb out of than 3-6 for sure. So you have to win now. So the question becomes, is there some sort of collusion which was suggested by our esteemed man from the North?
Let me interrupt, because that's exactly, you know, vain Dave, you know, paranoid Dave. But just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean that people are not out to get you. Me.
Exactly.
They are. That's right. And let me tell you something. That's what I read. It was this passive aggressive. What is the Mook doing, when really it was an insinuation? Damashek is taking advantage of the Mook, and Bill Simmons has now decided, I don't want to tell tales out of school. I sincerely wasn't going to name names, but okay, you put it out there. The idea, talk about overseer.
He deserves to be named in this. He was okay, the prime mover.
All right, listen, but let me just say, talk about overseer. He decided, we have no rule that you have to approve each other's trades, right? I mean, people have gotten very upset about trades.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think we have had certain things in the past where there was a little bit of a hue and cry, and maybe there was an uneven thing. Am I wrong, or am I misremembering?
We voted on it. We voted on it in the league, a league, like 2 years ago, whether to even have an a veto rule, and it was did not pass.
The darkest chapter in league history, aside from John Hamm, star of Tag, kicking poor Dave Damashek out of the
league. Once again, I think you're confusing the phrase darkest period with funniest period. So again.
And I will say,
I don't want to tell other people what art
how to feel.
I hope you're going to say
that's the whole point of this conversation. I guess you're right. Touché.
I hope you're going to say losing the trophy, David, because I'm still hot. And that is rightfully why you were kicked to the curb.
And once again, my name should be on there, too, if there was one. But it's somewhere in a landfill in Agoura Hills. So,
well, we don't know. See, I guess I have a similar disposition than you guys do, because I'm still hoping that trophy shows up someday. I don't know where it went. Neither do you. You've just assumed the worst. Maybe it's going to reveal itself one day, and we're going to be better for it. OK, back to what we're talking about, though. So Mook is 2-6. Now, the key detail of the players named a couple of minutes ago in this trade were, yes, the guys I got are better, but they were all on a bye in week 9. And the Mook with a 2-7 record is really that much further out of it. And if he wins and gets to 3-6, there's a reasonable shot he makes a run, right? I don't think it's
there might be a follow-up trade. There might be a thing. Exactly. You have to win. You're trading your future to win now. It happens a lot in sports.
But the insinuation is, my takeaway, well, first of all, so Simmons' plan is, or thought was, from here on out, if you're 4 games under, you're not allowed to make trades anymore. What in the hell? I mean, bad trades happen, not just in fantasy football. We did. The darkest moment that I was referencing was, I don't remember the specifics, but somebody gave away basically Todd Gurley and it was a lousy deal and there was more, oh, this is fixed and everything else. And again, maybe again, it's my sunny disposition. Maybe I'm Pollyanna. I'm willing to bet that 0% of the league members are trying to trick the rest of the league. Are trying
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. There's no way. It's you're trying to make the best deal in the moment of what you think. And we all have, you know, sleepers and guys that we think are going to blow up. You know, who had CJ Stroud this week that started that, you know, who knows? It's that's why the NFL is the NFL. And that's why we tune in every week. Todd Gurley had a spectacular year and then a spectacular flame out. Like, you know, it is what it is. So the other part of it that you're neglecting to mention is that the sports guy is, I think, in first place in the league. So he's feeling a little bit like, oh, well, wait a minute. Someone's coming after me now. Damashek's loading up for a run. And, you know, again, I don't know. I'm surprised that a man who runs $100 million empire has the time to worry about things like this.
That's why it's the best.
But it is. I think it was treated with the amount of humor that it was that was appropriate.
No. There's an extra chapter because so the sports guy is playing overseer, a role no one asked him to play.
No one asked.
Deciding
did not
who's
need.
Allowed, who rises to the level of
commissioner is not an option.
I mean, what the hell are we doing? So I send off. By the way, okay, I'm not a great guy. I think we all agree on that point, at least.
Agreed.
The Dutch Mook, though, is a sweetheart. Do we think, is the league's opinion laid out on that email chain that he's trying to screw the sports guy out of $200 in between his chemo treatments? I mean, what are we talking about? This is an insane position of cynicism to take, right?
Exactly. Well, it doesn't make.
And I'll say this, when you make the trade, by the way, you know, like John clearly saw that I was making the trade. My back was up against the wall. I was giving up more than I was getting. But when I made the offer, I texted you and you said yes within like 45 seconds. Then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I gave up too much. If you offer a trade and someone says yes that quick,
snaps it up for sure.
Like, oh, shit. Now I've really done it. But
truth serum. When I said yes, and then Simmons sends that email to the entire group, your first instinct was, well, now I'm embarrassed and we should undo this trade.
Not that we should undo this trade, but I was definitely like, I went back into a trade calculator. You have these trade calculators now and, you know, you can enter in all the players and then like a little, meme pops up and every single one of them is like, no, you're a freaking idiot for doing this trade. And then I was like, well, you know, then I felt terrible, but that said, let's talk about what happened this week.
What happened?
Well, I now have the juggernaut that is Rashad White. I mean, next week I might be able to get Christian McCaffrey for Rashad White. I mean, you can't stop this guy now.
Let's make a nice trade right here. What you have a representative from the MBBs on the line here. I'll sit back and let you guys do your thing. I fell to the MBBs just this weekend. He had Mahomes. I had Tua. No one did well. Our defenses did well, and now he's further ahead in our division in the fantasy in our fantasy side of things. So, mazel tov to you, Ham, and to Trevor Duvall, your co-owner on that.
Yeah,
go ahead,
I mean,
make another trade. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Here we go. You know, what's our? I mean, we have a pretty solid team. You know, everybody could use a running back. I don't know. Come up with a thing, and we'll.
Start with Kasperi Kapanen, Ham. That's your first volley.
By the way, sidebar, you're texting me about how the Pens better show up against the Sharks if we can pivot to the NHL for a hot second.
Yes, please.
They did more than show up. A 10-2 drubbing was, I believe, the final score in the Shark Tank. My God.
Well, I don't like to, you know me again. I'm a carrot, not the whip guy. I don't want to be the latter, but I felt I had to. I had to send a very clear message to the Pittsburgh Penguins organization. Just as I love the Rolling Stones, doesn't mean I have to pretend to like their new album.
Fair enough.
I love Lemieux and Crosby and the Stanley Cups and all the entertainment and all the great years, nay, decades that they've provided for me. But I'm under no obligation to pretend I'm enjoying watching this mess. It's embarrassing for me.
Bruce Springsteen said it best. You got to prove it all night. You know what I mean? That's what it comes down
to.
That's
right. So I sent them a chat. I thought a pretty clear message that
lose to that team,
I'm out.
All right. NHL portion over.
But what about your Blues? You excited
the
about
Blues them? The Blues are good. It's going to be an interesting year for the Blues. I think they're, you know, new captain Braden Schenn's running the show there on the bench now. It's exciting, and we got a team full of hard workers, and that's a team that's built for the playoffs. I'll tell you that much. And a version of this team damn near knocked the Colorado Avalanche out their Stanley Cup year, and they took them to six games, and they could have won that series. Three of the six games went to overtime, and I think Colorado won all three of them in overtime. So you never know. You know, they're a good squad. They got a good goaltender, and if everybody plays up to their potential, I think that they could be a scary team come playoff time.
You're in the three, four
seed that comes in there, you know, and causes havoc.
Just stay out of the Whales, aka the Eastern Conference.
We don't want to have to mess with the Division. That's our bailiwick.
All right, listen, I don't want to hold you two guys up. Your mentions to jump in and try and resolve this hash that caused me some emotional torment this weekend. Quickly, though, Ham, when you jumped in, we were just finishing up talking about Oregon. What's your sense? Sorry for your Mizzou. They took a good run at the Dogs there. I really thought, yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people picking Mizzou this weekend, at least against the number. Do you think that for the Mook's sake, his Oregon Ducks, do you think that if they win out, they're in no matter what? Or could you see if Bama plays Georgia in the SEC title game that you're going to get that SEC bias? It's going to be like, sorry, Ducks. I mean, we got to send Bama, and we're not going to not send Georgia. So those two go. And now, you know, Ohio State and Michigan has to go. Right.
I could see it happening. And then for this, but I would still be furious at it, like anybody would be. There's just no rhyme or reason when the SEC comes into play. It's just, they're the 800-pound gorilla. If there's a 700-pound gorilla, it's the Big Ten. It's a joke, you know. And the problem is, whenever any of these West Coast teams get in, they always get their ass kicked, which doesn't help the argument. Right. If they could come in and dominate at any point, it would make their argument better. But you know, you get a Utah, you get a, you know, fill in the blank, these guys that run the table, Boise State, and you know, then all of a sudden they go up against the 7,000-pound offensive line of Georgia or Alabama. It's like, it doesn't work. You're playing arena football against, you know, the 1975 Steelers. It's like, it's not happening.
Always love those regional differences, like the big boys from the Midwest versus the speed of Florida. What's going to win out? And now you have the Pac-12 on its way out the door. It would be wildly funny if one of those teams actually won the national championship.
Listen, Oregon's a great squad. That quarterback is insane. I mean, I love watching them, but you never know. I mean, I hope they get in just because it's representative of college football, which is what it's meant to be. But who knows? I mean, it's in the order of things that are so corrupt, it's a joke. The NCAA / college football is like 1 and 1A with like FIFA at this point.
And 1B is our fantasy football league. Mook, make an offer.
I got, you know what? I'm operating on such the head of a pin right now that I have to really go dive deep to make him one of my famous terrible offers. We haven't talked about the other terrible offer that got accepted last week, but I will send
that
something
to me. The more egregious of the two, I thought, but again, was it was one? Made in the same, it was the quarterback swaps, right?
No, it was. Oh boy.
No. What Ham's talking about is Tall John and Jamie.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Traded Trevor Lawrence and got Derek Carr on the same logic you did, which is that you wanted a guy who was actually available in week 9. Correct. That was a bad trade. But I said something snarky. My intended target was Simmons trying to manage who's allowed to trade, not so I said, like, hey, Jamie, you're not allowed to evaluate trades. That's for someone else to do. And Tall John thought I was taking a shot at him. So then he got mad at me and made a very off color.
It wasn't off color. It was filthy.
I thought it was important.
Let me offer the slightest defense of Simmons here, though. That Simmons is sticking his nose in all this, and as John correctly said, guy who's running a multi-$100 million media operation is still cares enough to fire off emails and bitch about this stuff. I truly love that. You know, I have all day to cook up trades. I got, you know, my list for today is play 9 holes of golf, walk the dog, and offer some trades. That's it for today. He's probably got to go meet see that guy who Daniel Echo and Spotify and through countless other meetings. So I love that he has time to talk and think about our trades in our silly league.
What's wrong with you, Luke?
I appreciate the observation, but I also think that his time would be wisely used in a different capacity. All right,
Ham, you use your time wisely. Promote yourself real quick. Real quick.
I can't. You're not even
willing to do it. What a bitch. Yeah.
I can't do it. Solidarity.
I feel bad. You know what? I do want to say publicly, I was in my feelings when I said, go watch him in Top Gun Part 2, because he plays a jerk in it, which makes it a documentary. I didn't mean it when I said that.
I understand it. Listen, you had a long, dark night of the soul last year, and I hope you learned your lesson.
I didn't. Well, but thank you anyway.
The lesson is find the trophy.
All right, there goes Ham. Mook, real quick, just to pick up on what we were talking about. Concern level about the state of the Niners right now, especially after the Eagles barely survived the Cowboys. I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, the ship has sailed on the number one seed. So how do you feel about San Francisco going forward?
I feel great about San Francisco going forward. As you know, I'm an NFL insider. I have two NFL GMs, a personal line to two of them. Scott Fitter, my dear friend, who's the GM of the Carolina Panthers, and my wife's cousin, John Lynch. So, you know, I have a direct access to information here.
You say that, but John Lynch, I've told you this before. I tell people nice stories. I try not to tell negative stories about people I know, but the John Lynch once, I was at a Super Bowl and, you know, big throngs of pro football luminaries and whatever. And
careful,
I'm standing
this there. Is family. This is family. Careful.
And I'm talking to a couple of guys, and John Lynch walks up and starts talking to, I mean, it must have been Daniel Jeremiah or somebody like that. Someone who, you know, is a, you know, scout figure who everybody, you know, kind of rightly has great respect for. And John Lynch is standing there and he goes like, hey, Dave, how are you? Good to see you again. I think stuff like that is the, you know, it's a little bit of a politician's trick. Either you can register and retain names with faces and all that. But that kind of stuff, if I had any counsel for any young person out there, learn that trick. Because vain people like me are like, great guy, right? Yeah. Forever.
You'll go to the mat for him. Amen. You'll go to the mat for him. I am not worried about the Niners. I mean, I think it was happening the last few weeks. And let's go back. I mean, they missed a game-winning field goal, missed a game-tying field goal. And then, they got smoked by Cincinnati, a team that clearly we saw last night is a fantastic football team. And, I think that the one thing that we've encountered in the last few weeks in this losing streak was, you know, Brock Purdy. We don't want him to be literally doing as much as he has been. And losing Debo was bigger than I think most fans anticipated. What he adds to the playbook is huge. And losing your left tackle when you're basically a quarterback who started 16 NFL games, that's pretty big. So I'm not at all worried. The defense has been a little sloppy, but I think that'll get cleaned up. So I am very bullish on the Niners, and I'm very bullish on a team that will be very eager to put a good foot forward against the Eagles after last year's probably the worst football watching experience of my life. So I'm still as bullish as ever. And I'll say the best part about it is it gives you an opportunity to put more money on the Niners to win the Super Bowl. And you're getting way better odds than you got a month ago.
Here's the thing. I do think we'll look back. We get very swept up in the chapter that is most recently delivered in football season. That's always been true in college football more because every game you lose one, you lose control of your destiny. But that also is true in pro football week to week. Like we lost in week three to that team. Like that happens way more to good teams than it did a generation ago. Like the really, really good teams didn't lose by 10 points to bum teams. But now, and good teams get housed by other good teams some weeks. It just happens. That didn't go on in 1979. Like their anomalous results were rare. Anyhow, I think that's what this is going to be. We'll look back on the Niners and be like, oh, remember that when everybody was talking about how they're done for? I think the Seahawks getting hammered the way they did on Sunday kind of confirms that for me a little bit, that the Niners are going to be fine and win that division. But I do, I think the thing that weirdly has gone under the radar in pro football circles for the last week or two is they have Chase Young.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, we haven't seen him in a Niners uniform yet.
So what?
So, yeah.
So what?
Huge.
Unless his health is not what I, again, sunny disposition, I'm assuming he's pretty close to where you want him to be.
Yeah.
And then he's going to be with Nick Bosa and the rest of that front seven. E. Garrett. Yeah. I mean, we should be talking about this way more than we are, right? Or no?
Well, it's gone under the radar because I'm saying we haven't seen it in uniform. I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm not saying like, well, we don't know how it's going to be in uniform. No, we haven't seen it. So we haven't been able to get excited about it and actually make observations on it. So yeah, the defense has really underperformed the last couple of weeks. And they did not look great against Cincinnati. So yeah, I think adding Chase Young, yeah, that'll help.
As a reminder, everybody. First overall draft pick, who was a dominator when he was right in his rookie season. It's weird how it's kind of like, yeah, well, the Washington game away. And you talk about narratives and there's a certain momentum. Like, yeah, he hasn't really worked out. But if he's right and you put him on that team with that defense where he's not going to be double teamed consistently, I mean, this is a story to watch for the second half of the season. And I'm with you. Niners to go to the Super Bowl is a great play right now because of the Eagles and where the Seahawks are kind of chasing them and Detroit's getting some buzz and all that adds up to the Niners are a little undervalued. I get that there's also some cynicism around their QB that is a factor too. That may be a little more valid, but I also still trust that Shanny's going to get that thing right long-term. Mook, what a delight to kibitz with you. Keep on making trades no matter who gets in the way of them. It's your right.
Dave, I can't be, I won't be stopped. And I just really hope I'm vindicated in this league because I've had a lot of success in this league, won a lot of titles. We don't have a trophy
to prove
it.
Almost as much as I have.
Yes, I had a great run there.
4 years.
Yes. And so I'm not going to give up. I'm not a quitter, as you know. So. I think I got a couple more trades in me because I'm going to stay alive for a while.
Go buy the clubs, the club guys.
Club pro guys, other black book.
I'm a bum. I'm not a good host. You're a great human being. The club pro guys, other black book, Paul Kohorst, AKA the Dutch Mook. Weirdly, to those who care, some of the people who care most about him call him the Dutch Mook. But that betrays how highly we think of you, the Mook. You are a ray of sunshine in a world of piss and vinegar, man. Hang in there. Keep on doing what you're doing, man. Everybody's rooting for you to keep on being you for in this league and beyond for decades and decades on end, man. Appreciate you taking the time. Let's catch up, in fact.
Thank you, David.
Somewhere, I assume Oregon's going to be in the Pac-12. Maybe we get a preview on that before it goes down, all right?
I would love that. Count me in.
All right, there he goes. The Dutch Mook, everybody. Paul Kohorst. And now a quick break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And there goes the MOOC. Eddie Spaghetti, you're an objective third party. Although I would like it, I don't expect that you do, but I would prefer that you take my side in all these fantasy football matters. I mean, it's the right thing to do. You have no, you're not tied to the MOOC or Ham or Simmons or anybody else. So setting that aside, what did you think of that discussion?
Well, as somebody who does the fantasy football podcast at our network, and I'm also a commissioner of a league, a very long running league, almost 15 years at this point, I think the way that trades work is you have to set a deadline of when trades could stop being made. Up until then, any trades could be made. That also means that the trades usually have to be fair. And I think the most democratic way to do that is let the commissioner put it up to a league vote. I don't think it's fair for the commissioner to give the old, Joaquin Phoenix, like thumbs up, thumbs down as the emperor. I think it has to be everyone in the league says, yeah, if they're cool with it, they're cool with it. If the two teams agreed on the move, it most likely should just go through because you have to assume that both parties are in favor of getting the players or sending away those players. So to attack others and try to install new rules midseason, for me, that is a big no-no. Everything has to be determined like probably prior to your draft to have it clear for the season. That goes with trades, with scoring, with roster size, what have you. So if I was commissioner of this league, the trade would go through and there would be no changes to the league until postseason. So that's my role.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's fair. But as you can hear, things get sideways there. And the point isn't, as you just said, who won the trade. I felt like pretty clearly in terms of players, I would rather have the players that I got than gave up. But I do legitimately look at it and say, and especially after I just lost in week 9 to Ham and Trevor, like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to make the playoffs for sure. But my roster is now better. Whereas he needed to win that game, did the MOOC, or else his season was over. So who's anybody else to weigh in on that? Like, I'm sure everybody didn't like Herschel Walker, in the moment. But, we don't know how the cookie's going to crumble. But, Mookie Betts, I'm sure the Giants weren't excited about him landing there. But that's not your concern. You have no vote against teams that are your rivals getting better.
Totally. And plus with how fantasy is such a fragile thing where players end up on IR, it's too unpredictable. Nobody in the preseason would have predicted the players who were, no one would have been like, yeah, Devin Achane and Raheem Mostert, the most powerful running, but no one's going to guess that. Nobody would have guessed 9 rookie quarterbacks started so far. So I think because the unpredictability and how fragile a lot of players' health are, like you have to allow trades at least I think up until the end of November-ish, maybe the third week of November. So again, like I don't think changing that is as good. And if the two teams agreed on it, so I'm with you guys on this one. I think unfortunately Simmons is wrong here.
Okay, good, tough but fair. Last thing you got to say. As a diehard Puck guy, Yellowstone is his show now. Ham, he mentioned Mad Men, Draper,
yeah,
and Top Gun, Maverick, and all the rest of it, all that. But you know what? He is one of the things he deserves in his Wikipedia page, and when he wins the Lifetime Oscar and everything else, I hope they'll take a moment to say diehard St. Louis Blues fan. He knows his stuff, huh?
It's unbelievable. I'd love to actually have him for a full NHL pod, maybe come playoff time. He could talk it with us. And I'm jealous of him because that Blues team, while I think people are never like, no one's going to think of that Blues team that won, not a flashy team, no star players. And then that to me is why it's such a great team. If you want to watch hard nosed, like tough hockey, just banging around for every game of every series, that's that team. They won with great defense, with great goaltending. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly being like their best player, I guess Tarasenko, but it's just not and to see that team, that blue collar team win. And this year, they're kind of similar to that, with you know, Kevin Hayes and a few other guys on there. Like, they have some talent, but not a star-studded team. So seeing them win in this era where we've seen like the dynastic sort of the Lightning and the Avalanche and the Oilers, these high-flying superstar teams. So like, that's like an extra little notch that those Blues fans could have. So, I mean, yeah, just talking puck with him would be awesome. He definitely knows his stuff.
As I've told him before and other Notes fans, one of the worst losses, one of the things that really tuned me into puck first was when the Blues beat the Penguins in double overtime, I think, in the playoffs way back when. Oh, man, I can't think of the goal. That would have been a good instant trivia question because I know Ham knows the answer to that. I can't think of the guy who beat Greg Millen, Mike Liut versus Greg Millen, goaltender showdown. Way back when, but yeah, it's cool. Diehard, and then the Mook up there with his Oregon Ducks and San Francisco 49ers, and perhaps his fantasy football team will make all his teams good for him in 2023. We appreciate both of them joining us. And by the way, this bridges us neatly into our next episode on Thursday with Kevin Hench, because if you want to find somebody who did not like that St. Louis Blue Stanley Cup, Boston Bruins fan Kevin Hench will complain, but good for you about it. And the missed, remember the penalty, the kind of, according to Hench, swung the entire series. I'm sure we'll get to hear about that in a couple of days. In the meantime, Eddie Spaghetti coming at you with Jen Piacenti, Waiver Wired on Tuesday, on Wednesday, Sarah Tiana and I. Extra Points, I really think, is in terms of the quality of content, really on a roll. I really have been enjoying that. We have Steve Byrne joining us this week. Going to be a fun one there. Check that one out. And like I say, Hench, Spaghetti and I on Thursday, and then Friday, the 15-minute NFL pregame show. As always, we appreciate you checking that out. And we'll be back later in the week. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been the Thin Slice of Heaven.